Welcome to worship. So delighted to see all the faces here today. Special welcome to those worshiping with us from home, and a warm welcome particularly to fathers today. Blessings this second day after Pentecost. We always celebrate the opportunity to worship together, but today we also have the great joy of celebrating three of our high school graduates, Clara, Josie, and Gabby, and witness the public affirmation of faith for Peyton. So, special day to be gathered together. We'll take a moment now to prepare our hearts for worship. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light, and our salvation. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God. For in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people, Israel, from slavery into freedom. At the river your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word you claim us as beloved children, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life, and above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, in unity with the Holy Spirit, now and forever. The love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Lord God, with endless mercy you receive the prayers of all who call upon you. By your Spirit, show us the things we ought to do, and give us the grace and power to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
From Romans 6. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is free from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from the book of Galatians, chapter 3. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinary until Christ came so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to his disciplinary. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus declared, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to God in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Making a promise is easy. Keeping it's the hard part. Isn't that true? When I was a child, I'd sometimes make a promise that I had no intention of keeping. But as kids, we did something that seemed to make that okay, at least by kids' standards. We'd put one hand behind our back and cross our fingers, thereby making the promise null and void. Did you do that as well? Let's be honest. Now, admit it. Okay, I'm seeing some hands. Why we did that, I have no idea. But that promise that we sort of made was broken, oftentimes. And then you could say, well, it didn't count because my fingers were crossed. So my question for us today is, how do you know when a promise will be kept? The answer is you don't, right? We don't know. Because from a very early age, we experience more than a few broken promises. It's not that all promises will be broken. In fact, most of the time, I think the promise maker has every intention of keeping the promise that they've made, but they simply can't. We've all known times when we've been looking forward to something for a long, long time, and then at the last minute, suddenly the plans change. The event's canceled, or a conflict comes up that can't be avoided. And so we experience what we feel is a letdown, a disappointment. We've all known that feeling. And if it happens over and over and over again, we may even experience disillusionment. We might begin to distrust others and their promises in order to protect ourselves. I suspect that's why many a heart becomes hardened. Perhaps there were simply far too many broken promises along the way. Now, this is sounding like a downer of a sermon, even to my ears. I mean, here we are this morning, and we're about to hear Peyton make some pretty big promises. And not just Peyton, but the promises she will make are a reminder to the rest of us of our own promises. You see, in our tradition as Lutherans, wise people that we are, we choose about age 14 to ask these really important questions in young people's lives, and who knows why that particular age, but many of us are invited to affirm our faith at various times throughout the church year and on various occasions of the church year. And we're asked to answer that very same question that I will address to Peyton in just a few moments, and that is, do you intend to live in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism? And that's not the end of the question. The question then has five parts. Do you intend to live among God's faithful people? To hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper? to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people, following the example of Jesus. And if that's not enough, to strive for peace and justice in all the earth. That's a mighty big promise. But this isn't merely a question we ask teenagers on their confirmation day. This is a question asked of all the baptized. So you're not alone, Peyton. Do you, people of God, do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism? If so, please respond, I do, and I ask God to help and guide me. I'm waiting. Thank you. Or, as I like to say, thank you, Jesus. Saying I do is an affirmation of the covenant. That is the promise that God has made to each one of us in the very waters of holy baptism, where God named and claimed us as beloved children, making us heirs with Christ of the gift of salvation and of God's unconditional love, mercy, grace, and forgiveness that is continually being poured out upon us. And saying, I ask God to help and guide me, is an acknowledgement, a confession, that we can't keep this promise without God's help, without the Holy Spirit's help. This gathered community, whether we're in person or worshiping from home, all of us are continuously being invited to answer yes to God's yes. And like Peyton, we would do well by responding as we just did. I do, and I ask God to help and guide me. Yes, I do intend to live in the covenant God made with me in holy baptism. And yes, I will do that by being part of a faith community and by living into the fullness of life, the life God desires for each one of us, for you and for me and for all of creation, for that matter. We engage in community not just for our own sake, but for the sake of the other. And we gather in worship to hear God's word and to share in the Lord's Supper so that we're empowered by God's Spirit to go out into the world and let our lights shine. To let our lights shine through our words and our actions, through our serving, and by striving for justice and peace. In other words, by living into God's vision, God's desire, God's heart for this world God so loves. And frankly, God already knows that we aren't very good at keeping our promises, but God is. God is good at keeping God's promises. There are never crossed fingers behind God's back. Instead, God in Jesus Christ made the journey all the way to the cross. And on that cross, God conquered death by dying and rising once for all. This is God's promise, and this is a promise that cannot and will not be broken. So today, as we gather here in worship, and we gather with the intention of celebrating these bright, gifted young people, Peyton on her confirmation day, along with three of our young people who have just now graduated from high school, Clara, Josie, and Gabby. I'm reminded that in their young lives, they have already known far too many broken promises. And yet I am also confident that God has great plans in store for them, each one of them, and for the rest of us too. I am confident that they will continue to let their lights shine, each one of them in their own way, just as each one of us in our own way lets our lights shine. So finally, remember this. You, that is all of us, you belong to Christ. And we are heirs according to the promise of the one who promises you can be sure are true and trustworthy. Cross my heart, not my fingers. Amen. I invite the congregation to be seated, and at this time, I would like to invite Peyton Ryan Thorburn, who is desiring to make public affirmation of her baptism, to come forward. And the rest of the congregation, along with Peyton, I would invite you to turn to the front of your red hymnal to page 234. 234, the numbers are at the bottom of the page. Let us pray. Merciful God, we thank you for Peyton, whom you have made your own by water and the word in holy baptism. You have called her to yourself, enlightened her with the gifts of your Spirit, and nurtured her in the community of faith. Uphold Peyton in the gifts and promises of baptism, and unite the hearts of all whom you have brought to new birth. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen. And again, I'm going to invite the congregation to stand just briefly for our profession of faith. I want to invite you to join with Peyton in the responses. So, people of God, I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, to reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God? If so, please respond, I renounce them. I renounce them. Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God? Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God?
Yes.
Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Please be seated.
Peyton, you have made public profession of your faith. And so now I ask you, do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism, to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth? If so, please respond, I do, and I ask God to help and guide me. And people of God, I ask, do you promise to support Peyton and pray for her in her life in Christ?
We do,
and we ask God to help and guide us. I'd like to invite Peyton's parents to come forward at this time and ask that you, Ryan and Nicole, that you stand behind her as she kneels here at the altar rail. Peyton, here is your certificate for your confirmation day, and this is a Bible on behalf of Central Lutheran Church we want to give to you, along with your Bible verse for this day. I've selected for you on your confirmation day this verse from Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit you give us new birth, cleanse us from sin, and raise us to eternal life. Stir up in Peyton Ryan the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence both now and forever. Amen. People of God, let us rejoice with Peyton. We rejoice with you in the life of baptism. Together we will give thanks and praise to God and proclaim the good news to all the world. And now I'm going to invite Peyton to stand, and Nicole and Ryan, would you pick one of the quilts for Peyton and wrap that around her now? And Peyton, knowing that you are now confirmed in the Lutheran tradition of the Christian faith, and also knowing that you are soon to be moving out of state, we want to send you on your way with this quilt made by the loving hands of our quilters to remind you of God's love that envelops you and wraps you, and also to celebrate with you not just this day, but all the days ahead as you begin your new life together in Wyoming. So peace be with you, and God's peace be with you as well. Now I'll invite you to return to your seats, and we will continue with the prayers of intercession.
United in Christ and guided by the Spirit, we pray for the church, the creation, and all in need. Holy God, you have promised us that as we are united with Christ in death, so too we are united with Christ in new life. As Peyton affirms her baptism this day, so too are all the baptized renewed in your call to love and service in your name. And whether our days are bright or dreary, you remind us of the light that shines from within, never to be hidden away. As we celebrate and send forth Clara, Josie, and Gabby today into new adventures, may their lights shine before others in a way that shows forth your own dazzling love. God of grace, hear our prayer. Creator God, you have woven your promise of new life into all you have made. Even as we bid farewell to spring, may new life surround us still. Restore places where land, air, and waterways have been harmed. Guide us to develop and implement sources of energy and food production that do not destroy the earth. Let us be your heart and hands in the work of restoration. God of grace. God of all peoples, you hear the cries of those who are marginalized or cast out. May your Holy Spirit set our hearts aflame, burning to bring forth your kingdom of justice and peace. Encourage and equip us and our leaders in our endeavors to end oppression in all its forms. We pray for true freedom and human flourishing for all your beloved children. God of grace. Tender God, you hear the cries of those who suffer. Come to the aid of all who are homeless, naked, hungry, and sick. We pray especially today for Terry Chapp, Linnea Embleton, Arlene Fors, Claudia Hardwick, Dick Haugen, Dolores and Bill Lewis, Dave Prescott, and Alice Rothstein. For whom or what else do the people pray? Bring peace to any whose mental health suffers, so that they can clearly recognize your loving presence. God of grace. God of comfort, let us rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. We give thanks for the faithful departed whose lives proclaimed all you had done for them. Today we also ask your sustaining presence with the family of Richard Cook as they grieve the sudden loss of a young grandchild. We cling to your promise that at the last you will unite us again with all your beloved ones as we make our home in you. God of grace. God of every time and place, in Jesus' name and filled with your Holy Spirit, we entrust these spoken prayers and those in our hearts to your holy keeping. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
The offerings will be received as you come forward for communion. You may place them in the plates that are at the front of the pews. And now, please rise as we sing together our offertory response. Let us pray. God of abundance, you have set before us a plentiful harvest. As we feast on your goodness, strengthen us to labor in your field and equip us to bear fruit for the good of all. In the name of Jesus, amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, holy God, through Christ our Lord, who rose beyond the bounds of death, and as he had promised, poured out your spirit of life and power upon the chosen disciples and upon us. At this, the whole earth exults in boundless joy. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love, you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await Christ's coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. These are the gifts of God, and they are given freely to us, the people of God. This is Christ's meal, and it is Christ who bids you come. All are welcome. As the servers prepare to serve communion, we will be on the floor and we'll invite you to come through the center aisle and receive the bread in the form of a wafer and then dip it into the cup. The cup has red wine or white grape juice. There are also gluten-free wafers available. Should you need that, please let your server know. Again, come, for all is now ready.
Thank you.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, generous God, for in this bread and cup we have tasted the new heaven and new earth, where hunger and thirst are no more. Send us from this table as witnesses to the resurrection, that through our lives all may know life in Jesus' name. Amen. And at this time, I'd like to call on our members of the foundation. Becky Sermon is going to present the Central Lutheran Foundation scholarships to our three high school students that have graduated now from high school. And so I'm going to invite Clara and Josie and Gabby to come forward to the rail here, and also for your family's members to come and stand behind you as we celebrate this day for your next important steps in your life together. Clara, why don't you go to this side, and Josie and Gabby spread out just a tad bit, and that's good. And facing the congregation as your parents are coming forward, and other family members if they'd like to. And Becky, you have a presentation from the foundation.
I do. Good morning. I'm Becky Sermon, and I'm chair of the Central Lutheran Foundation Scholarship Committee. Central Lutheran Foundation has been awarding scholarships to Central graduating seniors since 1990. That's 32 years of students that have received funds to pursue their college education. This comes from the generosity of members of Central Lutheran Church. The funds were started by the Hendrickson family in honor of Lloyd and Shirley Hendrickson, and have been added to over the years by not only the family, but the congregation. A few years later, another scholarship was endowed by Wally and Leva Swanson. This fund was able to aid another student from Central going on to school. Recently, a third scholarship fund was established by the estate of Ruth Warner. These three scholarship funds now make it possible to award three $1,000 scholarships for furthering their education. The foundation hopes we can continue to grow these three funds so the scholarships can even be larger in the future. We are proud of all of the graduating seniors this year and wish them God's blessing as they go forward with their life's plans. The first scholarship is the Hendrickson Scholarship, and it goes to Clara Christensen. Clara has graduated from South Eugene High School. She's been active in the music and youth programs here at Central. At high school, she was active in the theater and served in many capacities and programs. Her plans are to go to Seattle Pacific University, majoring in music and theater, and possibly pre-med classes. Clara? The second scholarship is the Ruth Warner Scholarship, and it goes to Josephine Josie Clever. She graduated from South Eugene High School. She's a member of Central Lutheran and has served in youth activities. In high school, she's active in sports, member of the National Honor Society, and has volunteered for various community activities. Her plans are the Honors College at the University of Oregon, majoring in neuroscience and political science, with plans of either law school or med school. The third scholarship goes to Gabrielle Gabby Thorburn. She graduated from Sheldon High School. She's been active in church at her former church, Cross of Christ Lutheran in Colorado, and Central here in Eugene. She's also active in high school in athletics, Sheldon's Honors Program, and outside of that, she worked an outside part-time job. Her plans are to go on to Boston College, majoring in biochemistry or a similar field. Congratulations, Gabby. Shall we give them a hand?
And as we, I should introduce to you these kids, these young people don't get through life without the help of their parents and their supportive families. So just to acknowledge the parents, Nathan and Samantha Christensen, parents of Clara. And Clara also serves on our Synod Council for the Synod of Oregon as our youth representative. So thank you for doing that, Clara. And Josie is here with her dad, Bill, and mother, Rita, is unable to be here this morning. But I know they both support her as well as her sister, who was confirmed this morning. Or excuse me, that was, sorry, wrong family. But Molly has been active along with Josie in many activities here at the church, including Vacation Bible School, leading that. And then I want to acknowledge Nicole and Ryan as you prepared your daughter for confirmation today and supported Gabby through her education years. And now, as I mentioned in the earlier, that you will also be leaving our church family to go to Wyoming, where Ryan already has been in a commuter marriage this year as you have begun the work there in your career. But this allowed Gabby to finish her high school years here, and we're delighted that all of you were able to join us today along with your families and friends and this faith community. And so there's one final thing that we'd like to present today, and that's that the quilts that are adorning the altar rail today, these were lovingly crafted by women in our congregation. And Clara and Josie and Gabby, we want these quilts, one of them to be given to you. We're going to allow you to pick your quilt, so why don't you have your parents hold that quilt for you, but pick one. And soon I will ask them to wrap you in that quilt. But these are being given to you to remind you that you are forever wrapped in the loving arms of God. As your siblings in Christ here at Central Lutheran, we want to take this moment to acknowledge the milestone of your graduation from high school and celebrate with you all that the future will bring. We hope this quilt will provide comfort and warmth and a reminder of your community here, this place that will always be your church home. And we also hope that it will provide heartwarming memories of your life here at Central Lutheran. Let us pray. Lord God, you have called your people to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils and joys unknown. Give Clara, Josie, and Gabby faith to go out with good courage, not knowing what lies ahead, but trusting that your hand is leading them and your love supporting them, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And blessings to you. We have cake and muffins made by the family of Gabby and also Peyton. And those are in the Northex along with some coffee. So encourage you to welcome these young people and congratulate them today. And I'm going to invite you to be seated now. I know that we have one final act with former now President Larry Sutton. Yeah, congratulate them again. And Larry is no longer council president effective this past Wednesday evening. He was termed out of council after serving 6 years on behalf of the congregation and this past year serving as our council president. So, Larry, this is your final act.
Yep, you've asked it to is.
Come forward today.
And, Pastor, could you come down here? So, 25 years ago, that would be 1997, Father's Day was June 15th. And Pastor Lori, having graduated a couple of weeks before from Luther Seminary in St. Paul, and needing to be in another couple of weeks in Watertown, South Dakota, starting her first church, Lutheran Church of Our Redeemer, was making some very big promises. She was celebrating her ordination at her childhood home congregation, Holy Redeemer, in Bellflower, California. Now, the council at its meeting last Wednesday recognized and toasted this event. And I asked Pastor Lori to jot down a few of the details that she shared with us Wednesday night so that we could honor her and this big event and sort of be part of it. As I read what Pastor Lori gave me, perhaps it will remind you of those people who were important in your own faith life. 25 years ago this week, I was ordained, and when it came time for the laying on of hands, normally all the rostered ministers who are present come forward. But I decided I would also call up a cadre of the significant people in my life who had shaped me along the way of my faith journey. Mrs. Cozart and Mr. Laporte, Sunday school teachers from my childhood. Barb and Keith, Bob and Mary, Marlene and Harry, who were the adult leaders when I was in Luther League. Representatives from each of the congregations I had been a member, from Christ Lutheran in Long Beach to Lutheran Church of the Servant in Santa Fe. The pastors who had mentored me, especially Jay Spoonheim and his wife Isa, Kim Krogstad, and my internship supervisor John Nelson from Maple Leaf Lutheran in Seattle. All of these people, along with my family and my lifelong neighborhood friends, had come to celebrate with me as I was ordained into word and sacrament ministry. It was hands down one of the most significant events in my life, and I continue to feel blessed to serve with and alongside all of you here at Central Lutheran Church. And Pastor Lori, thank you from me, from everyone here, for keeping those big promises.
Thank you.
And therefore, it is my pleasure to officially present from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America this testimonial of commendation and gratitude in recognition of her 25th anniversary of ordination into the holy ministry of word and sacrament. It is signed by Elizabeth Eaton, presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and from Lori Caesar, the Oregon Synod bishop. Thank you.
Thanks, Pastor. And now I invite you to stand and receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you.
You belong to Christ, heirs according to the promise. Go in peace. Share the good news. Thanks be to God.